This Wednesday, 20th of March, Morning Grace comes to you live from the Garden of Eden restaurant in Eastwood, Nassau. Join the breakfast discussion as we work towards creating safer communities.
Our panel includes Representative from the Church, Urban Renewal, Royal Bahamas Police Force, Department of Correctional Services, ex-offenders, current community builders, Department of Education, victims of
crime. It seems hard to find any signs of
Morning Grace.
Where coming we from a legendary past, the new generation
everything.
Of Bahamans
that's
seek to
Wednesday,
take this nation
Grace
to heights
coming
it's
to
never seen.
On
that's where the youth perspective comes in. We seek to display tomorrow's leaders in every facet
Nassau.
Of society.
I'm Keturah Clark.
The show will focus
and
on
I'm
today's pacesetters,
together,
the movers and shakers, and the next generation of great, impactful Bahamans. We seek to uplift, motivate, and encourage our listeners. Tune in as we address issues of importance with wisdom and intelligence, all from the youth perspective.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. Yours truly, Kashigan Jamal, in your company. And it's another edition, another exciting edition of the Youth Perspective, where we shine the light on the youth of our nation. You're listening in to 1540 AM, 104.5 FM, the national voice of the Bahamas, and Inspiration 107.9 FM, where it's all gospel all the time, and ZNS 3, 810 AM in Grand Bahama. We thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for locking it in each and every Saturday, and we thank you so much for being a part of the show. On this edition of The Youth Perspective, we are joined by two doctors, one to the left, one to the right, as we talk about World Obesity Day. Right. And so we're going to have an exciting conversation this evening, ladies and gentlemen. So get real close to the radio, a little bit closer, come a little bit closer. And so that you can really hear what we're going to say this evening. And so we want to welcome Dr. Jeanette Martin. She joins us for the first time in the U Perspective, but I believe it won't be her last time. Good
well,
evening.
It's up to you. I would love to come back, but thank you for having me today.
It's so good to have you on the show. And of course, no stranger, all the way from Pajo, Dr. Brittany Jones. How are you doing this evening?
All is well, and it's good to be back.
And you have a really interesting title, so just give it a title.
I am the Non-Communicable Diseases and Mental Health Technical Officer.
Yes. Always wonderful to have Pajo in the house. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we speak this evening about World Obesity Day. And so, I think that's a great place to start the conversation this evening. What is World Obesity Day? And of course, what is the significance of this day?
So usually World Obesity Day is observed on the 4th of March, and it's the opportunity to raise awareness on the subject of obesity. Specifically today, we want to focus on the adolescent and youth population. Usually we think about obesity and the root causes only being narrowed to physical activity and the lack of physical activity or a poor diet, but really there are several other root causes of obesity. So this is the opportunity to start the conversation, expand the conversation, and most importantly, advocate for prevention and management of obesity, especially in young people.
All right. Always great to have these kind of conversations, because these are the kind of conversations that educate the nation. And so as we continue our conversation, let's talk about obesity and the causes of obesity, because I don't think people really understand, like, what does it mean to be obese?
Right. You know, there's so many causes to obesity, and that is why obesity, World Obesity Day, and the World Obesity Federation is focusing on obesity. One, we have an increased amount of obese people worldwide and in the Bahamas. And they're focusing on it because there are many root causes to obesity. So it's not only food and lack of exercise. But before we even go to some of those causes for obesity, I'd like to just share with persons what obesity is. So the definition of obesity is excess fat in the body. And how do we get this excess fat? And what does this excess fat do to the body? Well, we get the excess fat from consuming too many calories. And those calories come from fatty foods, high salt foods, high carbohydrates, like simple carbs, sugary drinks, a lot of potato salad and macaroni. Mm-hmm. and rice on the plate
the
same
staple.
Time. Yeah, large portion, Sunday dinner that goes into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then back to Sunday. And for children, what World Obesity Day is doing is they're focusing, shining the light on our youth. And they're bringing the youth into the conversation. Why? Because what they've found is by 2035, obesity rates in children in our youth are going to be increased by 100%.
Wow.
And we see that now. We see it in the Bahamas. As a weight loss specialist at Doctors Hospital and behavioral therapist, I work with obese children as well. And so some of those root causes are the, you know, too many calories, not enough exercise, because we know that exercise for children should be every single day for an hour or more. And so that's just some of the root causes. Another root cause is genetics. It could be also medication. But primarily in the Bahamas, and what we're focusing on today, and I hope Dr. Brittany allows me, we're focusing on the caloric intake, the amount of calories we're feeding our children.
Okay.
We're feeding our children larger portions.
Mm-hmm.
We're feeding our children the same portion size we give ourselves as adults.
Mm.
And so, you know, when you give a five-year-old the same plate that you're eating and then say to them at the dinner table, you have to finish all of this because if you don't, then you can't go out and play or you can't do X, Y, Z. Then what they're doing is forcing their straining and stretching their little tummies, which causes accumulation of the fat tissue, which can lead to inflammation and other illnesses like prediabetes, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, increased asthma. So different health conditions, you see? And so those are the causes, and those are some of the things that it can lead to, excess fat in the body.
And tell me, because, you know, a lot of persons are listening in and they're trying to figure out, so why is it important, right, to prevent, manage obesity in children and adolescents, right?
Yes, it is important, like I said, because the children, you know, if they're eating too many calories, then it's going to cause increased blood sugars, especially if those calories are in the form of sweet drinks, potato chips, cookies, you know, large amounts of pizza. Those kinds of things, then in the body, all of those carbohydrates are broken down into sugars, glucose, 100% within an hour. So over time, if we're feeding our children that, they're going to not only put on weight, excess fat, but it's going to predispose the body to prediabetes, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. Believe it or not, I work with children who come to me and they're pre-diabetic. And these are children who are not even at adolescent ages.
Right.
You know, these are children with a body mass index. And in children, we look at percentile, a percentile, weight percentile over 85, 95. So those are some of the things. And premature death for some children.
Wow.
You know, mechanical problems, problems with their knees, problems with their backs.
My God.
Because their little bones are not maturing and not developing in the way it should, and because those bones are small, they're soft, you see, and so some of the problems that come out of obesity in children are those things.
Add to what Dr. Martin just shared, a lot of the eating habits that are developed in early childhood and adolescence have a tendency to be carried over into adulthood as well. And so children and adolescents who are struggling with obesity are more likely to also become adults who remain with challenges with obesity as well. And so that's why it's important at this stage to begin shaping the eating habits as well as the physical activity habits of young people. We often say that children are the future of our nation. And so if their health and well-being is not optimized, it's going to compromise their ability to function in school, their future ability to perform in the workplace, and even to participate in their communities, in their families, and really live a high quality of life. So when we talk about obesity and obesity prevention, it's not just from the health perspective, but a broader perspective as well. It's important for a sustainable development of our country, as well as the ability for these children to eventually become adults that meaningfully contribute to our society. We also don't think about the social impacts of obesity. Some children might endure teasing and other forms of discrimination just because they may have challenges that other children are not, you know, challenged with because of the weight issues. And so we want to really hone in on a broad spectrum of not just risk factors, but also what can we do to prevent and manage or control obesity.
And so you mentioned risk factors. Let's talk a little about those risk factors of childhood obesity as we want to focus on the youth.
Yes, yes. So we mentioned at large the issue of poor diet. It's not uncommon to see children walking to school with Takis and a Fanta soda or a Coke, a bottle of Coke soda, and even parents might wake up in the morning and, you know, sodas are their coffee to get the day started, and they may not they may not be cooking nutritious meals for their students. And so you could imagine a child comes to class, they are pumped up with all of the sugar, and then by 2 o'clock they're done, or crashing. Even sooner they're crashing. So the poor diet is a challenge, as well as the sedentary lifestyle where we're not getting up and moving enough. Most schools will have physical activity for about an hour or so a week, or however often. But as was mentioned earlier, physical activity is an activity that needs to happen for at least an hour every single day. Mm-hmm. It could be something interesting like swimming. Some Bahamians are not swimmers, but swimming could be jump roping, could be even as simple as turning on some Zumba or Pilates on YouTube and just getting movement in every single day. But the other risk factors are, of course, biology or genetics. That's not something that's easily modified, but it is something that's worth mentioning. If there's a family history of obesity, there's a higher likelihood that a child may also struggle with those things as well. We also should consider insufficient sleep. You know, children who stay up late at night and on the cell phones and on the computers and not getting the 8 hours or more recommended sleep, that's also a risk factor. We also should consider high levels of stress chronically. I know we might think children don't be stressed out, they have nothing to stress over. But the reality is children are exposed to some levels of stress. And exposure on a continual basis increases their risk of obesity. You know, some persons may engage in emotional eating as a coping strategy. And, you know, as we spoke about earlier offline, it could be a tub of ice cream, a pack of chips, and that's not necessarily the healthiest way. So we see how there's a tie between physical health, emotional health, social health. It's all it all comes together and has an influence on the well-being and health of children. And finally, one of the biggest risk factors is the environment. We call it the obesogenic environment. And we can talk about it a little bit more, but there are structural factors in our environment that contribute to the impact of obesity on children.
Now, before we talk about the obesogenic environment, I want to throw this out to both doctors here joining me. I remember when I was growing up, when you are in certain environments that a lot of youth are in, you may get the fruit punch or the juices, and you would get the cookies, you know. And as you get a little bit older, they, you know, being wolfed at like the pizza parties and stuff like that. And so and ice cream, obviously. And so do we need to start now thinking about maybe bringing some healthy alternatives in there when we talk about kids? Because when you think about kids, you know, you're thinking about certain foods. You're thinking about chicken. You're thinking about your fries. You're thinking about pizza. You know, you're thinking about these things. And so is it now that we need to start to change, start to curve those meals that we signify with children? They are children. Give them this, you know?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Mm-hmm. Very well thought out as well. No, I think children need to have the things that they love if mm-hmm. they go into a party.
Right.
But the parents and the adults need to control the portions,
okay,
the amounts. Mm-hmm. And if they're getting it maybe on the odd occasion, say it is Youth Day at church, mm-hmm. then that is an event.
Okay.
That is not a daily way of eating. Or okay. daily lifestyle, you mm-hmm. see? And so they go to a party for their school friends mm-hmm. and they get pizza. So if the adult is serving, then the adult needs to practice some mindfulness mm-hmm. on the portions of that pizza they're serving to the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah? Because if the kids are going to have the cupcake with the icing, mm-hmm. they're going to have the punch or the Coke, the sodas, or whatever it else are the treats they're going to have, then they need to portion out. And then it is up to the parent to decide whether they take that candy bag that the kid jumps in the car with at the end of the day,
yes.
whether they take it and they control mm-hmm. how the child eats that, when the child eats it, and how much mm-hmm. they give it. Mm-hmm. All right? You want to let children be children,
yeah.
but we as adults now need to step in and decide, okay, how much of this am I serving? If I'm responsible for the food at this function, then okay, they're having pizza. Then let's give maybe an apple or some fruit in there.
Yeah.
You see? Mm-hmm. So that is what we need to do. Start to reevaluate how we plan events for children, because you know, like I said, you know, and these aren't my numbers; these are research numbers. Our youth, obesity is being increased exponentially, 100%, and we see it in the Bahamas. So we need to start now reevaluating portion sizes, combining two or three different types of party foods
yeah.
when we're looking at children. I think Doctor has something else to add.
I just mm-hmm. want to build on your point of mindfulness and bring the discussion to the household level. Whomever is responsible for purchasing the groceries of the house has also a huge weight of responsibility. And it could be as simple as reading the labels on the back. I know oftentimes we pick up things because we're brand loyal to a specific brand of whatever it is. And so it's important to start practicing mindfulness and reading the labels. How much added sugar was in this product?
Right.
What's the percentage of sodium, trans fats? And you want trans fatty acids to be zero if possible.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
How much saturated fats was added to this product? I mean, as simple as breakfast meat, some of them could have up to 800 milligrams of sodium.
That's right.
And because we are brand loyal, we might just pick it up just and not up mindlessly just put it in our carts. And so I think the challenge is to be more mindful, to do take an extra step to read what is the ingredients and what are the percentages that are recommended for daily intake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're tracking, you know, I had this candy bar, that might be your cap for sugar for the day.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or if it's the recommendation is 5 grams of salt and that's your cap for the day, I'm not going to have another bag of
that's
whatever
right.
salty snack it is.
That's yeah. right.
So that's yeah. the importance yeah. of mindfulness.
And I think yeah. it's important to, in my estimation, for parents listening in too, is to make sure that we're introducing our young persons to veggies. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right? Because I know a lot of them grow up and you will notice sometimes most adults don't even like certain veggies.
That's
like
right.
they have to be forced into it
yeah.
when health start to go,
that's
you know, opposite
right.
direction and the doctor say, hey, you got to increase these veggies. But no, if we kind of get them into it while they're younger
mm-hmm.
and they grow up
mm-hmm.
With that appreciation for
mm-hmm.
vegetables,
mm-hmm.
for fruits,
mm-hmm.
understanding that, hey, I need to have this every day. I need to increase my water. And so not waiting until health starts to waver.
That
to get
is,
into
that
things.
Is
yeah.
so true, because with children, they need about 4 to 5 servings of vegetables a day. And a serving for a kid is only a half a cup.
Okay.
So in the Bahamas, we think a serving is a whole dray load of stuff on the plate.
Mm-hmm.
It is just a serving is half a cup.
Mm-hmm.
So you can put two types of vegetables on the plate, and they would have gotten two of their 5 servings.
Okay.
You see?
Okay.
You could, so you can easily sneak vegetables in there. They need about 4 servings of fruits. A fruit for a kid is half of a large apple, mm-hmm. or a very small apple, mm-hmm. you see? And so if we look at the serving sizes, and that comes from the parent, what I like, too, is that we as parents should take our children grocery shopping with us.
Yeah.
There's an acronym that I use. It's called PIP. We need to plan. Let the children go in the refrigerator with you and the cupboards and write out that grocery list.
Mm-hmm.
Planning. Mm-hmm. And your ingredients, the I is the ingredients, the children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And mm-hmm. take them to the grocery store with you. And when you come back home, preparation, that's mm-hmm. the next P.
Mm-hmm.
Help them, allow them to become involved mm-hmm. in the preparation of the meals. And then portions, practice portions.
Mm-hmm. And so, listen, let's talk about the obesogenic environment,
mm-hmm.
And then also we have to let the listening audience know how can obesity be prevented. I know a lot of persons really would be interested to find out about that, but let's talk about that environment first.
Sure. So obesogenic environments are simply environments where the physical space, the economic conditions, the social conditions, the cultural conditions are all conducive or support lifestyles that are unhealthy. So to give you a couple of examples, we know that exercise is important. However, if your sidewalks are not conducive or if your neighborhood is not safe enough to go out and exercise, it makes it difficult to participate in that activity. Similarly, if you live in an environment where there are 6 fast food restaurants on one street
mm-hmm.
and one maybe mom and pop shop that does not even have fresh fruits and vegetables available, it limits your options and makes it more difficult for the healthier decision to be made. Even when you go into the grocery store, as Dr. Martin mentioned, you take the kids to the store and they may see cartoon characters on cereal boxes or on the can of spaghetti, and that immediately draws them into the foods that are not healthy for them. So all around us, in our physical spaces, even in our family spaces and social spaces, we talked about the types of food we serve at Sunday dinner. Everyone knows in just about every household, rice and macaroni yes. are staples yes. for a Sunday dinner in any most Bahamian households, right? And so there's a lot of factors that come into the role or that come into play with our decision making around food, around physical activity. And so as much as possible, we have to work together at the individual level, at the community level, at the societal level to simply make the healthier choices, the easier choices,
mm-hmm.
whether it's looking at the availability of fresh fruits and vegetables in those corner stores or in the grocery markets, what are the costs of those things compared to the unhealthier options, and just education. I think a lot of persons may not know, genuinely don't know, that the decisions they're making are not the best decisions. So how do we empower them with the information to make better choices and to make choose alternatives to the unhealthy choices? So, yes, we all have a role to play in the prevention of obesity. Very simply, and probably overly simply said, at the individual level, we need to simply limit our energy intake from fats, from salts, and from sugars. Those excess sugars, those processed foods, anything that comes in a package is processed food. It went through some process to preserve it and put it on the shelf and make sure it has a shelf life that lasts by the time as you pick it up as the consumer. So as much as possible, if we can start cooking more of our meals instead of buying out and making sure that there are the right portions of fruits and vegetables on that plate. And it could be a gradual process. Maybe this week we take out the macaroni and we add in the broccoli. And then another week, we take out the rice and we add some carrots. So just simple lifestyle changes over time is the direction that we want to go to start to reduce our intake of sugar, salts, and fats, and also increase the level of physical activity. So that could mean instead of taking the elevator, we start taking the stairs. If we're in classes, maybe teachers at the beginning of classes have a little workout session with students for 2 minutes before they're seated for another 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So there are simple lifestyle changes that we can make to really begin to curb the challenge of obesity among young people.
That's right.
Right. Now, before we get ready to wrap up, we got about 3 minutes left. Before I get everybody's closing comments, we want to talk about the community support, right, as we talk about the prevention of obesity. And so how can the community support? How can parents support, teachers, all stakeholders that are listening to us right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, education, you know, empowers us. And by listening to this station, mm-hmm. by going into the clinics, I know that the government is doing a lot of work with education through the public health authority. Going into a doctor, just into your pediatrician's office. Pediatricians keep a lot of information. Speaking with your pediatrician, with, you know, the children's physician, mm-hmm. speaking with persons in healthcare who, if you feel like you and your kids have a problem mm-hmm. with obesity and that your child is a bit too large for his or her size, then start to ask the questions. Start to seek out healthcare professionals who can assist.
Yeah.
And start just at the community clinic level mm-hmm. because the community clinics have a lot of information. I know the Public Health Authority is initiating a lot of education on obesity, overall obesity, and childhood obesity is one of them that they're focusing on as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'd only add, you know, we have neighborhood groupings and neighborhood associations. There are civil society groupings that already exist where young people already congregate, whether it's an after-school club, etc. Those are the spaces where physical activity can be introduced and incorporated. And I'd also just like to highlight the importance of engaging young people in the process of planning interventions, of just inviting them to the discussion around how can we help you to make better decisions? And also parents and those that are caretakers, how do we support you in making better health decisions? And so it must take a collaborative approach among children, their parents, and the larger community to make a difference.
Yeah.
Now, before we wrap up, we want to give both of you ladies a wonderful opportunity close the show out and give us some parting words, anything you want to share about World Obesity Day or any message you may have that you want to share as you're ready to wrap up.
You know, our focus today was on childhood obesity, but I want persons to understand that children cannot make these changes on their own.
Mm.
Okay? Is the parent. And it is the parent purchasing food. It is the parent cooking the food. It is the parent. And we don't want to put a lot of extra stress on the parents, but the parents need to begin to take responsibility for the lifestyle that they are creating within their homes amongst their children. You know, when we love our children, then we need to shower them with love through making healthier lifestyle choices.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and to add to that, I would just say it is important to continue the conversations. I think today was just the start of a larger discussion that should continue in smaller spaces and settings in order to really begin to understand how can we really make a difference. And I would also offer, if anyone is looking for additional information on obesity prevention, PAHO and WHO websites are a good place to start to source more information on how we can work together as a community, individuals, and looking at the recommendations for obesity prevention and control.
All right. Indeed, ladies, we thank you so much for joining us on this edition of The Youth Perspective. This has been a powerful one, and I'm excited as we take this time to share the significance and the importance of World Obesity Day, looking at childhood obesity and the prevention of obesity, ladies and gentlemen. We thank you so much. Make sure that you continue to listen to the show once again, and like Dr. Jones shared, make sure to head to PAHO.org. I think it is, yes. WHO. And find out more information about how you could help to reduce obesity in your settlement, in your community, on your street, or maybe even in your child's school, or even in your parent group. All right. And so we were joined this evening by Dr. Jeanette Martin. And of course, she is a wonderful director down there at Doctors Hospital Medical Surgical Weight Loss and Diabetes Program, right down the hill. And we have Dr. Brittany Jones joining us all the way from Pajo.
Just around the corner.
Yeah, just around the corner. Yeah, yeah. So both of them are just right around the corner. And we're looking forward to having both of them back again. And as we continue this march, and as we continue to help the nation. And so we thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in and tuning in each and every Saturday. It is always a pleasure to have you tune in to The Youth Perspective with yours truly, Cashigan Jamal. Thank you so much. And The Youth Perspective, where we shine the light on the youth of our nation. And we'll see you next week, Saturday. We'll do it all over again. Have a great evening and make sure be safe.
I'm trying to be great, and I'm on my way. Way up, way up, way up. It's never too late, and I'm on my way.
I'ma leave my mark. Ready, set, go. Ready, set, go.
I hope you enjoyed another edition of The Youth Perspective. Stay tuned for more interviews, more in-depth conversation, great music as we seek to encourage, empower, impact, and uplift our youth of this nation. Here on The Youth Perspective, we'll see you next time right here on The Youth Perspective with Cashigan Jamal.